This is an iHeart podcast.
Whatever team Fia is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. And Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. We have questions about talking to your commie neighbor. What is Putin's plans? What's Putin's plans for the future? Why don't we have a Glenn Youngkin vice president talk, historical books, all that and more coming up on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now let's dig into this one. Dear Oracle, my neighbor Norma told me she finished watching the press conference. She said Biden, quote, sounded smart. So smart she couldn't follow what he was talking about. Norma figured Biden's uneven, endless rambling was Biden's eagerness to express his overabundance of intelligence, but nothing suggested dementia to Norma. Is this PC liberalism, virtue signaling, stupidity, or passive aggression? Okay. You have a liberal Aunt Peggy in your life? That's not a Norma, I should note. That's a liberal Aunt Peggy. But remember, liberal Aunt Peggy's, they're not always loud and coming down off their anti-anxiety meds. Sometimes liberal Aunt Peggy, if she's in an environment that's hostile to her views, she'll pretend to be a norm or a Norma. And in fact, we should talk about this for a minute, because I have a couple people like this in my life. And here's what they do. When they get around me and all my friends, who virtually all my friends are hard right, I know these people are card-carrying Democrats. I know it's what they believe. So, the debate. Remember the debate, the Biden-Trump debate, the disaster for Biden? We were in a big group text thing. Did you hear this? Did you hear that? And there's a couple of these, what I know are Democrats in there. And you know what they did all night long? Here's what they did. There was no, Biden's a disaster. Oh my gosh, this is terrible. Gosh, Joe Biden sucks. There was none of that at all. You know what they did all night long? All night long, when everyone was making fun of Biden in the group text. Oh, did you hear this? Oh, Trump's killing him. All night long, here's what they did. Yeah, man, both these guys suck. Yeah, these guys are terrible. Yeah, they're just both so terrible. Yeah, they're both terrible. Now, what are they doing? You can see it. I can see it. Everyone knows what they're doing. They know it's a disaster for their guy, but they can't put their guy on a lower plane than Trump, who they hate with the fire of 1,000 suns. So because they look bad, they look so bad that it's indefensible, they do the, well, it's just kind of all of them thing. It's a very, very common thing. Your neighbor, she's not a Norma. She's a card-carrying communist. She knows you're not. She knows that sounds bad. So that's why she saw it. And also there's this. Have you ever had a friend whose child is absolutely dreadful to be around? Dreadful. It's always the parents' fault, I should note, but misbehaved, loud, rude. I will tell you, my son knows, one of my sons, and I'm not going to say who, one of my sons, there's a kid in his, I'll say in his circle, there's a kid in his circle this way. He's the kid when every parent or child sees him walk in the room, people will go, oh gosh, he's here. Oh, here we go. I don't want to name the kid, but so we'll just call him Chris. As soon as the kid walks in, everyone looks and says, oh gosh, here's Chris. My son has said this to me before. Dad, please don't let me go. Please don't make me go to Chris's birthday party this weekend. Please. The parents, other parents will say, oh geez, Chris. He's always screaming, hitting people. He loves to hit people. He thinks it's funny. A disaster of a kid. And it's obvious why he's a disaster as soon as you meet his parents. His parents, total grease fires. And you know what they say? You know what they say? They'll be so complimentary of Chris at all times. Gosh, Chris is so sharp. Don't you think so? Oh, that Chris. He's such a jokester. Yeah, I saw. He just took his shoe off and hit your kid in the face with it. He's such a joker like that. Oh, that Chris. What a special kid. We think he's really going to be something someday. Now, are they dumb? No, they're not dumb. They're actually both very, very accomplished. They're both career people. They're both very accomplished. They're not stupid people at all. What are they? They're people who were heavily, heavily, heavily biased towards their son, understandably. And they're so biased towards their son that they can't possibly see what everyone else sees. The hardcore Democrat in your life who's still defending Joe Biden, it's a stutter, I thought he did very well. That human being, if you're going to try to talk to them, if you're going to try to reason with them in any way, one, you need to lower your expectations, all right? I mean, low. Your expectations need to be low. If you are going to wake that person up, it's going to take so much more than one conversation, two conversations, 10 conversations. It's going to take so much more than you pulling up articles, sound bites, facts, logic. It's going to take time. I'm going to say something, and it's something that's been said a lot. So I don't want you to just kind of roll your eyes and dismiss it because it has been said so much, but it is very much true. You know anything about cults? Cult members. The committed Democrat in your life is in a cult. They are. They have been thoroughly indoctrinated, either by their parents, the news, education system. They are in a cult. They believe things that are not real. And even if you show them they're not real, because they are religious zealots, because they are in a cult, it's going to take time, effort, and patience from you if you ever want to wake them up. And you have to go into it with the understanding you might never be able to wake them up. Maybe they can't. Maybe they're too stupid. Maybe, as I've pointed out many times, maybe they don't want to wake up, even if they know, okay, that's a lie. Okay, Biden's a disaster. We really shouldn't open up the border. They still don't want to leave the safety and security of the cult. They found this community where they feel like they belong. They don't have to think. They don't have to make decisions. They go where they're told, and they're surrounded by people who are with them at all times. They're herd animals in a cult. And if you've ever read any books or They have a bunch of documentaries out about it now, no matter what kind of TV platform you have, if that's your kind of a thing, about people who have come out of cults and also use the term woken up from cults, people who've awoken from cults. Go listen to these people. It was never all at once. It was a long process, and they'll talk about how deeply committed they were. And it's only a few, if you ever notice, it's only a few who fully wake up. They'll find that, well, this happened, and this didn't seem right, and that didn't seem right. And eventually, very, very slowly, over a long period of time, they will eventually wake up and see that everything they've been taught is a lie. But then, even then, and you'll see them talk about this, even then, even once they get there, let's say you wake up one day, you've been working on your dirty neighbor, your dirty communist neighbor, and she finally realizes that she's a dirty communist and she doesn't want to be anymore. Even then, you have to deal with what? There's a final hurdle that many can't go through. You have to deal with the embarrassment of it all. Cult members, former cult members, will talk about this a lot. You know, it's not easy to go to the family and friends that maybe you shunned who were trying to help you out and tell you the truth. It's not easy to go to them and say, hey, man, I'm really sorry. I was lost. I lost my way. I became part of a cult. I realize now that it was a cult, and the things I said, the things I did, I was wrong about those things, and I'm sorry. That's a very, very difficult thing for people to do. That's a humiliating thing people struggle with. I struggle with it. Don't you struggle with it? When you're wrong, saying you're sorry, saying you're this, saying you're that. What if Joe Biden doesn't drop out of the race? I realize this is a minor example. I've been telling you for 2+ years that I believe Joe Biden's going to drop out of the race. And I still tell you I think he's going to drop out of the race. What if he doesn't? Now, granted, it's me. I don't really care. But I'm going to have to come on the air and I'm going to have to tell you, hey, I was wrong. And I realize you're not going to care and I don't care. That's not a big deal. But even that, doesn't that hurt? It's a lot more fun to come on the radio and say, hey, the Oracle got it right again, and do all that stupid stuff that we like to do. It's a lot harder to say, hey, man, I was wrong. I told you I thought they were going to throw Trump in jail. That doesn't look like it's going to happen now. Well, good. I'm happy about that. I'm thrilled about it, but that's still not easy saying, hey, I was wrong about that. That's not easy, is it? Now put yourself in a cult. Your Democrat friends are in a cult. Takes time, effort, and patience to wake them up and accept that they may never wake up. And if they're on a MyPillow pillow, they'll never want to wake up is the thing. Once you lay down on a MyPillow pillow, especially the new fancy one with the Giza fabric, that's the temperature regulating thread. The truth is, when your alarm goes off in the morning, you've slept like a baby and you're well rested, but you have serious conversations with yourself about, maybe I could just duct tape this pillow to my head and walk around with it all day. That's how comfortable the pillow is. And right now, those are $25. $25. MyPillow has a $25 extravaganza sale going on right now. On top of the towel sets and the sandals and everything else, you can get the greatest pillow on the planet for $25. Find me another period in history where that's the case. Although I guess that was probably the case back before all the inflation. Either way, MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener special square, use the promo code Jesse, or call 800-845-0544. We'll be back. I've got an
animal inside of me. This is Jesse Kelly. You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. Remember, you can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Also, I will be in Milwaukee next week for the convention. Monday through Thursday, I'll be there on Radio Row. If you happen to be in the area and they let you in the building, which I have no idea who's allowed in and who's not, say hi. If you see me, I'm not some celebrity or something. Just come up and say hello. It happens all the time. People email after, hey, I saw you here. I saw you in the airport. I didn't want to bother you. And I love that everyone's so cool. I love it, but I'm just a normal person. I'm certainly not anything special. You're welcome to come say hello. I'll just be there looking for a red lobster. Dr. Jesse, the escalation of pressure on Russia. What is Putin's response going to be? Will there be a full-scale blitz on Kyiv to topple Zelensky? Are we beyond the point of no return yet? Well, we've talked about this before, about the risks we have if we continue to push Russia to a place, if we continue to back them into a corner, is how I want to say it. But remember that Putin has risks too. A lot of risks too. Putin he's one of these people who wants to bring back the size of the Soviet Union. So he wants to gobble up this territory and gobble up that and restore the empire, kind of a thing. That's how he views himself. All right. And over the years, he has successfully, on several occasions, grabbed this and grabbed that. And there's Georgia and there's Crimea. And he keeps stepping in and grabbing certain things. But he understands, he's always understood, he can't go too far. Yes, Russia is a nuclear power. They have the most nuclear weapons in the world. Everyone knows that. And yes, the Russian military, it's significant. I don't want to dismiss it at all. But it's not unlimited. And it's not some juggernaut who can take on the world at all. We risk backing him into a corner. But Putin risks going too far. That's why everyone who's told you, look, however people feel about Russia, Ukraine, I don't care. I don't really care for either of them, to be honest. But however people feel about them, I don't care. But every single person who tells you, if we allow Putin to do this, then he's going to keep marching through all of Europe and take Poland. Every single person who told that, who has said that to you, Republican and Democrat, they all love it. They're either idiots or liars. There is no third option. If somebody said that to you, they're a moron who doesn't know what they're talking about, or they're lying to your face. Putin doesn't have the ability to go take Poland or something like that. He doesn't have that kind of a military at all. He wanted more of Ukraine than he currently has, but the friggin' Ukrainians, granted with a bunch of American weapons, the Ukrainians were able to stop him from taking a bunch of different things. Now he has the bulk of the territory he wanted, but he wanted even more than that. He couldn't even take all Ukraine, or he's going to march on Poland. That's such a lie from people who don't understand military matters. They don't understand logistics. They don't understand troop strength, technology, how it works. That's not something he can do. Don't get me wrong. If he wanted to just nuke all of Europe, that he could do. There's no question about that. That he could do. But he doesn't want to destroy it all. He wants to grab it all for himself. He doesn't have an invading force that's capable of doing something like that. So what's his next step? Well, I can only guess here. I'm not Putin, and unlike American politics, I don't have any inside men inside of the Kremlin. Okay, I don't want to act like I do. Well, my source is right next to Putin. That's a lie. Well, you know, it's what a journalist would have.
It's Journalist Jesse.
Even Journalist Jesse doesn't have sources inside the Kremlin. So what's he going to do? I don't know. I know that's what his goal is, to restore the Russian Empire. He doesn't have the manpower to do it. I would suspect he's going to try to run out the clock until Western nations have had enough of dumping all their money into Ukraine, and then he's going to sign the peace agreement that was always going to happen, where he's going to have parts of Ukraine he didn't have before. Those are going to be Russia now, and he's going to take his ball in his new territory, and he's going to go home. He can't risk violating the borders of NATO countries. Ukraine is not a NATO country. If he crosses a single border of a NATO country, that prompts an all-out war with America involved against Russia. And he may be insane. He probably is, but he's not a moron. So that's never going to happen. That's not happening at all. He doesn't have the military for it or the ambitions. The risk is, does the Biden administration, a Biden administration that's very, very, very desperate, does a Biden administration intentionally push things to the brink to make this thing bigger than it should be? And I will tell you, something occurred to me as I watched that stupid press conference last night. I'll talk about it in a second. Hang on.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. I'm going to get back to the rest of these questions in a minute. The question was about Putin. I just want to point out something else I noticed at the press conference last night, and maybe it hit you as well as you watched. So the Biden team very clearly had a plan, probably a very smart plan considering his limitations, but they had a plan. The plan was, you call on a reporter, whatever the reporter asks, you give a speech. Remember, I kept chiming in saying he's filibustering. Well, that's what he was doing. Not really answering the question. He'd give a kind of half-hearted answer to whatever the question was. And then he would give a speech. Every question was met with a 5-10 minute speech. What that does is it reduces the number of questions you have to answer. And if you're not going to answer the question and you just have a pre-programmed speech, then you have a much better chance of getting Joe Biden through the night without pooping his pants. So they decided that smartly he was just going to filibuster and give a speech. But did you happen to notice what 90% of Joe Biden's speech was about? You see, I know we referenced jobs and we brought jobs back and things like that, but did you notice the continuing theme throughout his speechifying about the things he's done? All of it, almost all of it, I should say, was NATO, Putin, Ukraine, Russia, NATO, Finland, Putin, Ukraine, Russia. Would you see what I did in Ukraine? We just met with NATO, but NATO, but I stopped Putin and Ukraine and Russia. It was almost bizarre if you're looking at it from this angle, and this is the angle I was looking at it from. Okay, Joe Biden, he's got to win back enough independents to beat Trump in Michigan and Wisconsin and Pennsylvania. What are the bread and butter things that American voters care about? Well, every single public opinion poll out there right now, every single one says inflation and immigration are the two big things people care about right now. Ukraine, Russia, it's hardly ever on the list at all.
So if you're the president who's down in the polls and you have this national press conference where you're speaking to the American people, this is a unique opportunity to try to address those concerns, at least lie about it like he normally does. But Joe Biden talked about something that the average Rust Belt swing voter doesn't give a crap about at all. NATO? What? The average voter who Joe Biden needs right now couldn't name five NATO countries. I guarantee it. And that's not being insulting to Americans. It's just we don't care as much about foreign affairs as we do about domestic affairs. And that's understandable. Don't tell me what's happening over there in France when I can't afford eggs. It's a very, very understandable thing. And yet the theme all night long was, hey, I'm the one who, NATO, Putin, Ukraine, Zelensky, NATO, Putin, Ukraine. And it made me worry a little. You're down in the polls. It's looking bad. You never know what November is going to bring. Please don't count your chickens, Trump fans. We don't know. There's a lot of work that needs to be done, but you're down in the polls. You're desperate. All you can talk about is NATO, Putin, Ukraine, how you're standing up to the world dictators, how you're... What if the Biden administration, in an effort to keep the White House, what if they escalate things over there on purpose? There are a lot of people, maybe you already believe that they're doing that now, believe they're escalating things on purpose to throw us into World War III or something like that. A lot of people already have seen that theory tossed around a little bit. But what if they decide, hey, if we're going to lose an election, maybe we toss some extra weapons at Zelensky. We give him permission to fire even further inside of Russia. And then if Russia so happens to kick off a large war, well, now Joe Biden turns into the commander-in-chief of America who's fighting a war. And historically, there has been nothing better for the leader of a nation, not just ours, than to kick off a big war. Nothing helps your poll numbers and brings the people behind you, together and behind you, like being the commander-in-chief. You give the American people a real healthy dose of it's us versus them, and that helps the poll numbers. Always has, always will. And remember, these are a bunch of demons. These people don't care about human life at all. When I just said that, you're immediately thinking about all the death and misery and poverty. Those kinds of things don't ever cross the minds of the people who hold power in this country. None of them are going to die. None of their loved ones are going to die. It'll just be your son. Oh, well, and daughter. Sorry about that. And daughter, because now we decided a long time ago that women should be on the frigging naval vessels. Anyway, dear prepubescent paintball sniping connoisseur of body wash, for a long time I believed Trump would pick Glenn Youngkin as his running mate. He's a one-term governor from a purple state, widely popular across Virginia, has a reputation of being down the middle. I know he isn't the anti-communist stalwart I would like Vice President Kelly, but Virginia could be in play. I know he isn't mentioned, so on and so forth. Well, listen, it's not going to be Glenn Youngkin. There's something you should understand about the rift within the GOP. There's a rift within the GOP. And sometimes the lines are blurred, and sometimes it can be confusing. The old Karl Rove globalist rhino types, they despise Donald Trump, and Trump despises them because Trump has good views on immigration. He wants to stop that, so that's why they despise it. But there's also the more hardcore right wing, the more, maybe that would be you, it probably would be you, but some of those people within the party and the Trump faction, there's real legitimate tension there. Like, you know how Trump bounced Bob Good, the head of the Freedom Caucus, out of Congress? You just got done bouncing him out of Congress? That's not Trump's only run-in with the Freedom Caucus. Remember, whether you love it or hate it, wherever you fall ideologically, Trump is by no means and doesn't claim to be some hardcore traditional conservative. That's not at all who he is. That's not at all his belief system. He's much more of a Teddy Roosevelt type Republican, more of a populist type Republican, tariffs, stop immigration, things like that. And maybe you prefer that. But as far as what you would consider a hardcore traditional conservative, cut spending and things like that, that is not who he is. And that's not who he pretends to be. People who understand the debt situation will scream about spending and deficits. Trump has never done that. Trump doesn't give a crap about deficits or spending and has never pretended so, to his credit. Again, he never ran on being some fiscal hawk. He thinks that's ridiculous. He's not the type, and he's done this kind of thing in the business world as well. He's not the type to stress about debt or deficits. That's just not how his mindset works. He has a totally different view of the economy and how these things work. Glenn Youngkin, from what I understand, and I don't know him personally, but I do know people very close to him. From what I understand, Glenn Youngkin is way further to the right than you or I know. He can't broadcast that because he's in, as you mentioned, purple Virginia, which that's being generous. Virginia's blue. They had a bad election cycle, and they had a governor who told the people of Virginia, who told the parents they shouldn't be involved in their kids' education. That pretty much ended his campaign. And Glenn Youngkin has been an outstanding governor. He's been probably as far right as you can go in Virginia. But from what I understand behind the scenes, he's further right than we realize. And maybe there is a real divide there. I don't know. I've never heard of tensions specifically between the Youngkin camp and the Trump camp. I know the Trump camp and DeSantis camp. I know there are tensions there. I've told you about those. But I could see Youngkin having thoughts on things like spending that Trump would outright reject. And maybe he has thoughts on immigration that Trump would reject. I don't know. But maybe there's something there. All right. We only have one segment left. We have to get to as much of this as humanly possible. And we're going to. Before we do that, let's get you some relief from that daily pain. You know, you don't have to suffer every day. You wake up first thing in the morning, my shoulder's bugging me. You're doing the thing where you hold your shoulder and you move it around. Your hand hurts. Your back hurts. You have neck problems. We think we just have to either live with it or we think we should just do something different. Why don't you just try something natural, drug-free? That's what Relief Factor is. It's natural. It's drug-free. We're not talking about masking pain for just a little while. Reduce it. Maybe even eliminate it. All you have to do is take Relief Factor every day for 3 weeks. Take it for 3 weeks and tell me how that neck feels. Tell me how that back feels. It's helping support your body's natural response to inflammation. 1-800-4-RELIEF or relieffactor.com. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. And I can't get to the final emails before I play this doozy. I've been sitting on this one. So Chicago's mayor, Brandon Johnson. There were 100 shootings over the week. 100 shootings over the weekend. Listen to Brandon Johnson's excuse.
Black death has been unfortunately accepted in this country for a very long time. We had a chance 60 years ago to get at the root causes, and people mocked President Johnson, and we ended up with Richard Nixon. I'm going to work hard every day to transform this city. That's what it takes to build a better, stronger, safer Chicago. I need everybody to step up.
He's blaming Nixon. He went on.
Now look, white supremacy is real, y'all.
Say that.
I'm gonna say that one more time.
Say that.
Because in case the city of Chicago don't know, you got a black mayor.
Say that.
With a black wife, black children on the west side of Chicago.
Say that.
And all of these other administrations that shut down our schools, that shut down public housing, that raided the pensions, that sold off the parking meter, that sold off the skyway. Those people ran this city to the ground, and now they expect a brother to fix it in a year.
say.
Well, guess what? We're off to a great start, and I look forward to fixing they mess, building up our communities for the next 23 freaking years.
Remember to tell that Democrat you know in the city of Chicago when they complain, remember to respond with those four magical little words. You voted for this. Chicago finally got rid of a dirtball mayor, Lori Lightfoot, and they ran to the polls and voted for an admitted socialist. And now the place is a war zone. And that friggin' sucks because Chicago is one of the great American cities. Gosh, I've had some fun in Chicago. Friggin' horrible what's happened to that place. Also, you understand that when I talk to you about chalk, that it's a lot more than just male vitality stacks. They have female vitality stacks. They have chalk lit powder. It's packed full of vitamins and minerals. You take it in the morning. They have Chad mode. You know what Chad mode is? Of course they call it Chad mode. Chad mode is a pre-workout. You've heard about these pre-workouts. People will take them. They're usually in powder form. And it's loaded up with all kinds of garbage in it. It gets you all revved up and jazzed up for a pre-workout. Chalk didn't like how unhealthy all this stuff was. They've got all natural caffeines and things in their pre-workout. Chalk has whatever you're looking for. Huge discounts on subscriptions for the life of the subscription. 50CHALK 3000. That's 50CHOQ 3000. Go get some stuff, all right? All right.
And now...
here's a headline.
By, go, you know the thing.
Emails!
We didn't get to.
Dr. Kelly... for your long time, your sky sky is green theory was on full display with Biden, and now all of these people are pretending they didn't know the sky was blue all along. How does the communist voter not take a second and say, "Hey, I've been lied to. What else are they lying about?" It doesn't even cross their mind. It seems like, again, I want to remind you, the communist is a herd animal. A herd animal. You are not. You can't use your mentality when you're trying to understand the communist. For a communist, he finds safety and security surrounded by the herd. And yes, the guy leading the herd, whoever that may be, he may occasionally lead you into a muddy swamp by accident. Maybe he'll lead half the herd off a cliff. But if he does, you will still be surrounded by the herd. Safe, secure, doing what you're told, saying what you're told. So yes, the shepherd may make a mistake from now, from time to time. But that doesn't mean just because the shepherd screws up, that doesn't mean you want to leave the herd. For that, that's a big leap for a lot of these people. Mr. Shining Light, I'm 28-year-old white male from Atlanta. Everyone I know is so heavily liberal that I have a hard time connecting with them. My closest circle of friends is quite conservative and shares the same beliefs I have, but outside them, I feel like I'm on an island. The debate last week definitely muted most of my CNN sponge friends, but it seems like they've downshifted to, I hate the entire government. It doesn't even matter who I vote for, just like I was talking about earlier. Of course they did. Well, they're all bad. Anyway, I feel like this is a fantastic opportunity to awaken them, but I'm not sure how to go about it in a manner they would understand or not be offended by. Any advice for me? I think many younger conservatives are in the same boat I am. I touched on this a little bit earlier, so I'm just going to remind you again. If you're trying to wake up the liberal Aunt Peggy in your life, it's not impossible. And I believe in redemption. And we should be a people who believe in redemption. People have woken up from that communism and come around to reality. It's going to take time, patience, and effort. Time, patience, and effort. It's not going to be one conversation over a beer tonight at Chili's. That's not going to do it. You can choose to put in the time or not. But time and effort and patience. I want to speak specifically to parents who are going through this with your children. And when I talked about how much universities are destroying young women, much more so than young men, young women go off to college and they get eaten alive by this social contagion. And I got a lot of really heartbreaking emails from parents. Jesse, this happened to our daughter. It happened to our daughters. You realize that she's not gone forever, but it's going to take time and patience and effort to bring her back. Just stay with it. That's exactly right, Chris. That's a great way to put it. Deprogramming. Like I said, it's not just a cliche people use. She's in a cult now. You're not going to talk her out of the cult in a day over Christmas. It doesn't work that way. It's going to take time and some gentle guided discovery. Hey, Jesse, why haven't red state governors / AGs joined together to conduct a massive operation to arrest anyone working for one of the NGOs assisting with the border invasion? Why would Republican governors or AGs try to arrest anybody for doing something they all support too? Remember something, Republican big shots, they love illegal immigration too. They love it they've loved it for a long time. Doug Burgum loves it too. Keep in mind, that's one we really don't want to see walking into the White House with Trump. Anyway, I will see you in the convention next week. I hope the show sounds the same. I'm sure it probably will. Premier's got a great setup over there, but we will be back on Monday to do it all from Milwaukee. That's all.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. 3 times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.